Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Friends, I am grateful this morning that we have an opportunity to study God's Word together here in worship. So I'm going to invite you to grab your Bibles. Here at Westview, we do invite you to bring your own Bibles with you to worship, or if you have your phone and you have the app on your phone, you can get that out. At home, you have your Bibles with you, or maybe if you're on a computer, you can open up another web page there and pull up Bible Gateway or something like that. But I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles with me and to leave your Bibles open as we read and study our passages today. We have two of them we're going to look at this morning. The first passage is found in 1 Thessalonians, where we're going to locate ourselves quite a bit this fall, as we mentioned last week. So 1 Thessalonians is a little over halfway through the New Testament. Philippians, Colossians, then you have 1 Thessalonians. If you had 2 Thessalonians, obviously you got to back up just a little bit. And we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're just looking at a part of one verse there today. And then when you find that spot, if you could back up just a little bit, so turn to your left, and also find a passage in the book of Romans. So you got to go past the Corinthians and hit Romans, and we'll be in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. So have both of those passages open and available to you this morning. Last week, we started a new sermon series, a kind of a fall sermon series here at Westview, and we just acknowledged at the very beginning how, you know, like the last 18 months or so, and I use 18 months because that's related to COVID, but really this is going on before this all. There's just a lot of tension, and we call it tumultuous. It's kind of been the key word in staff this week. Just things going on that has really just caused and wreaked havoc in our communal life with one another. And we said that, you know, there's no entity that is immune to this. No organization, no business, no school, no church. Where all these external circumstances has really disrupted our internal relationships. And so we said last week, we're gonna put a new foot forward here at Westview. And we're going to declare that we are a recovering Christian community that is recovering Christian community. Catch all that again? Right? So we are a recovering Christian community. So we are a community of followers of Jesus Christ who have been dealt some blows, right? There's been some punches. There's been some socks to the gut over the last 18 months or so. And so we've had some ups and downs. And so we are a Christian community that is in recovery. But we are also a Christian community that is proactively recovering the essence of what it means to live in healthy relationships with one another. We are proactively going after these things that are going to help us to live as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going to plant ourselves here at the end of 1 Thessalonians, where Paul writes this many of these great pearls of wisdom, and we're going to apply them to how do we live as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if you want more explanation than that, we kind of had an intro to this sermon series last week. I would invite you just to go online to our Facebook page or go to our website and just check out the podcast or the video stream, maybe the first 5-6 minutes or so of last week's message. We'll give a little bit fuller explanation of that. And before we jump into this, I appreciate it. There was a lot of great just comments and feedback last week. And one of the things I kept hearing was, this is hard. You're right, it is hard. Can we just name this morning that living in relationship with one another is hard enough when things are perfect, let alone when things are tense and things are in upheaval and tumultuous? It's hard. And the things that Paul is going to share with us over the next several weeks, some of these are very hard. And let's just name, they're a lot easier for us just to talk about than actually live into. And there's going to be some weeks where we're going to be encouraged. It won't always be super hard. There's going to be some weeks where we're going to be encouraged by Paul as well. But it's going to be kind of back and forth, some challenging and some encouraging. And so I just want to say, you know, as I said last week, I'm committed to this. And I'm inviting all of us to be committed to this as well. And it's going to be hard at times, but let's do this together. Let's do this together. Let's encourage one another as we seek to recover Christian community. As we jump in this morning, let's pray. God, we understand that these moments where we get to study and read your word, they are such special holy moments. And so we just pause a moment. And Lord, we just pray that you, the sovereign God of all things, would be sovereign over this time and space. That as your scripture is read, and it is as it is talked about, and as it is listened to, God, that you would guide all the proceedings that go on now. Help us to hear what we need to hear. Help us to learn what we need to learn. Help us to be challenged in the ways that we need to be challenged, and allow us to be encouraged by your word when we need that encouragement. We lay these moments in your hands, God. What greater place could there be? We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Jason, thank you for coming to read God's word for us this morning. It's good, yep.
The first passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13, and I'll be reading the last sentence of that verse. Live in peace with each other. We'll move to Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jason. Appreciate that very much. So I think you guys are all aware that I like sports, yes, you knew that. I try not to use too many sports illustrations, but I do have one for you today. And I'm gonna just draw upon kind of in general here in the nature of sports. A lot of examples of this throughout the history of sports. And I'm going to focus in a little bit on the NBA, on basketball, right? In the history of the NBA, there have been times where this has come true, where you have 30 teams in the league, and each one of them typically has at least one great player. Sometimes a team will have two great players, and they're usually pretty good teams. And then every once in a while, there's a team that will have maybe three great players, or even sometimes four of the top players in the league. And they often call those a super team, right? Because if you think about the basketball, you have five players that are on the court at once, and if four of them are in the, let's say, the top 40 in the league, they got a lot of talent on their team. And so these teams usually then have such high expectations, and they're expected to make a run for the championship. But what happens sometimes is that super team, they're playing and the regular season is starting to wind up, and they just seem to be not hitting on all cylinders. And then the playoffs start, and they're kind of seem a little apathetic, or they just don't seem to quite be clicking. And then what happens is that this team that is far superior than any other team, they lose to an inferior opponent. And those of us who are on the outside, we kind of scratch our head. We're like, well, what's going on here? How did this happen? How could a team that is vastly superior in talent lose to an inferior opponent? And then maybe a couple days go by, maybe a week or two, and then there's a leak from the organization, and there's an unnamed source that talks to a reporter, and what was maybe rumored becomes fact. Well, player X could not get along with player Y, or coach rode this player Z so hard that there was friction there. Or man, player A, no one liked player A. And so despite being so overly talented, the team chemistry in the locker room was messed up. And this lack of cohesiveness and this lack of camaraderie meant that the team could not perform to the best of their abilities, and they could not match the great expectations that their talent projected. You know, in a sense, this type of scenario can infiltrate the church as well. I think here the Apostle Paul is well aware of the important dynamics, the importance of team dynamics, the importance of team chemistry when it comes to relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ, when it comes to the church living into God's will and fulfilling the mission of the church in this world. You know, the verse that Jason read here first, it's only six words long, right? It's only one sentence. In fact, it's not even a whole verse. It's just the end of verse 13. And yet that verse, that passage, those words, they offer a message that resounds. Live in peace with each other. What an important message for those who are seeking to recover Christian community. Live in peace with each other. The profound impact of those words makes what I'll say next, I don't think, too much of a stretch. That it is impossible for the gospel of God's love and grace to be shared coming out of an atmosphere where there is division and hatred. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to expand on that a little bit. That it is impossible for the gospel of God's love and grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be shared within our community and out into our community if it is coming out of an atmosphere, if it's coming out of a context, if it's coming out of an environment where there is division and where there is hatred, where there is no peace. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel news, from a place where there is no peace amongst ourselves, not only is that ineffective, but friends, that is downright dangerous. Which is why Paul's words here, chapter 5, verse 13, the second half, why these words are so important for us this morning. Live in peace with each other. Let's break that down a little bit. Start at the very beginning, the word live. The word there, live, in the Greek is an imperative. Do you know what an imperative is? Not a suggestion, it's a command. He's telling us this is what you all are to do. Live in peace. And I know that the English word there for live feels a little passive, right? Like live, exist, maybe dwell, right? It feels a little passive, but the Greek word there is all about action. The Greek word for live means to pursue. It means to bring about. It means to keep. It's a proactive word, to seek, to gather, to go after, to bring about this peace. And so Paul is saying, you live, command, be active in this pursuit of peace. And then if we go to the very end of that sentence, with each other. Question is, who's each other? Who is the each other? Is the each other just our friends? Is the each other those who, you know, maybe we like? Is the each other just those who we have things in common with? Is the each other those who have the same views as us? Is the each other those who just look like us and talk like us and come from the same background as us? It says, live in peace with each other, period. There's no qualifiers given there. There's no categories. There's no specifics. The only kind of measurement that I can come up to is this. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica. And the image that comes in my mind is that of, you know, the courier's coming, riding in, walking in with a letter, and he's like, here's a letter from Paul. And so the courier gives it to an elder. And so the elder calls the people together, and they probably got into a worship center, I'm sure, just looked just like this one. And they came together, and the elder stood up there and starts to read the letter from beginning to end and gets to the end. It wasn't chapter 5 then. It was just one long letter. But he gets to what we would call the end of chapter 5, and the elder reads these words and says, live in peace with each other. Who's the each other? It's everyone sitting in that room. The each other is every single other brother or sister in Jesus Christ. There's no qualifiers. There's no specifics. There's no breaking it down into categories. Each other means each other. It means the person who is sitting right next to you this morning. It means the person who is also sitting on one end of the worship center. You're going to make me do it all the way? We'll go all the way to the other end of the worship center and our friends who are online. Each other means those who have the same political views as us and those who are on the opposite end of the spectrum. Each other means those who share the same interests as us and those who do not. Each other means the fun kids who are running around like crazy in the worship center after worship and those of us senior saints who are navigating our way very carefully, right? Each other means those who maybe grew up right down the block, and it means those who grew up on the other side of the globe. Each other means every single other person in the body of Christ. And Paul says, live in peace with each other. Sounds good, doesn't it? I like that. I mean, I hear that. I'm like, wow. Everybody living in peace with each other, that I just... oh, that just brings a calming feeling. Oh, that feels good. Time for a dose of reality, friends. As good as that sounds, as important as Paul's words are, as you know, as important, as wonderful as that sounds in theory, the reality is that we are different. There's not two of us that are alike. And here's the thing, you maybe know this already, but here's the thing, anytime two people are in a relationship together, just two people, you only need two, and it does not matter what kind of relationship, it does not matter if it's a marriage relationship, it does not matter if it's a class relationship, classroom, it does not matter if it's in the business, it does not matter if you're teammates, it does not matter if you're neighbors, it does not matter what the relationship is, anytime there are two different people in any kind of relationship, there's going to be differences. You know this already, right? I don't have to belabor this point. But the thing happens then is that when there's differences, what happens sometimes is that we get wronged and hurt by the other person. And what happens sometimes is that we wrong and hurt another person. And hold on to your hats on this one. Surprise, the Christian community is not immune to this. This happens. There's times when we are not at peace with each other. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul's words are any less important or any less impactful than they were just a few moments ago. But what it does mean is that for the follower of Jesus Christ, who is seeking recovering of the Christian community, we are to live, we are to pursue, we are to seek out, we are to bring about, we are to keep this blessed peace with one another. It's a wonderful idea. It's a great thing. And it takes some work. It takes work. We have important work to do, friends, in order to live in peace with each other. And Paul here in this Romans passage, you have that open yet? Turn with me to the Romans passage, please. Here in this Romans passage, Paul gives a little context to the work that is ours. We're going to spend a few moments talking about this. What we're going to do is we're going to start in verse 18. Right? Because it feels like when we get to verse 18, Paul almost gives us a little bit of an out. It feels like it, right? Because look at the very first words in verse 18. It says, if it is possible. And I hear that. Now, Paul, be very careful. Paul is not suggesting that peace may or may not be possible. What Paul is saying here is he's offering a reminder to the church that even in our pursuit of peace, one must remain within the bounds of Christian convictions. Now, in other words, as crazy as this might sound, we don't do something unethical in order to maintain peace. When we're pursuing peace, we do what is possible within the matter, within the parameters of Christ-likeness. That's what Paul is meaning here when he talks about if it is possible. Stay within the realms of Christian ethics. It's the next phrase that fascinates me even more, and maybe it does to you as well. Middle of verse 18, as far as it depends on you. That phrase reminds me that I have a powerful role to play in the pursuit of peace. Let's explore this a little bit. You probably know the cliche or a little story, right? You help me out. You can lead a horse to water, but what can't you do? Can't make it drink, right? Now, those words remind me that I've got a lot to do. I got a lot on my shoulders in order to pursue peace. And I'm called to do everything I can, whatever is possible, to pursue peace with the other person. But you know, there are those times where the other person's not going to be receptive. They might even reject that pursuit of peace. And I've had that, and maybe you've had that in your life before, and that hurts, doesn't it? That's hard. And you can feel, it's easy to feel bad. It's easy to feel guilty about that. Like, oh, man, I just can't get, there's not peace there. I feel like I've done everything I can. And what that phrase reminds me here, you know, as far as it depends on you, it reminds me that there is definitely things in the pursuit of peace that I need to take ownership of. It's on my shoulders, that I'm called to do whatever it is that I'm called to do, pursue peace. And if I can lay my head on my pillow at night, knowing that I've done everything I can do to pursue peace, and I leave that there, even if the other person does not respond, but I've done what I can do, I can leave it there. Now, that's not an out, because we've got great work to do. But I hope that that can help settle us a little bit when we have those moments where we do everything we think we can do and there's still not peace that comes. Because those moments do happen. But you know, that phrase there, it smacks me in the face because there's a lot I can do, a lot we must do in our pursuit of peace, right? As far as it depends on you. Paul names that there is work that we own. So let's talk about this work just a little bit. What's this work that Paul has us to own? The first thing we see here in this passage, we're just going to name it that it's seeking reconciliation, not retaliation. You know, what does it mean to reconcile? That's one of those big fancy church words that we throw around so quick, right? Reconciliation is all about reuniting together, bringing back together, that there's been a rupture or a disruption, and now to reconcile means we come back together. This is at the core of pursuing peace. And in another letter, in 2 Corinthians, Paul, again, writes about us. He says, we who are in Christ, we who have been reconciled to God, we who have been reunited with God through Jesus Christ, we have what he calls a ministry of reconciliation. That as brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we are to be about. This is our work as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is reconciliation, helping one another to be reconciled with God and then being reconciled with each other. We have a ministry of reconciliation. But can we be honest this morning that sometimes, friends, it is a lot easier for retaliation? You know, when someone rubs me wrong or someone hurts me, oh, I know what my natural reaction can be. And if they hurt my spouse, or if they hurt my kids, oh, I know what my natural reaction is. I get defensive very quickly. I love it. Someone here, I'm not going to call them out, but they have a shirt. I've seen them wear it. It's got a bear on it, and it just says Mama in the middle. Mama bear. Daddy bear comes out, right? We get protective. And we're like, offender, you better beware. Because you've wronged me, you've hurt my family. And I have to admit, man, it is a lot easier, more natural for me to seek retaliation, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, than it is reconciliation. But Paul says something here, verse 19. When my natural instinct is retaliation, he says, do not take revenge. I mean, there's no doubt, for me at least, reconciling is harder. The less natural than retaliation, but to recover Christian community by pursuing peace, we seek reconciliation, not retaliation. And one way that we can lean into that, here's the second thing that Paul talks about here. One way that we can lean into this reconciling, this pursuit of peace, the work that we do, is just doing good. Right? Verse 20 of our passage here in Romans 12, it's actually a quote of Proverbs 25. And in summary, what Paul is saying is, be nice. Be nice to each other. Right? Be nice, and particularly to our enemies, particularly to those who have wronged us, right? Paul is saying there, if your enemy is hungry, give him some food, let him eat. If your enemy is thirsty, give them something to drink. And then he says, and then you're going to be heaping coals on their head. Now, how strange does that sound, right? Because I've seen coals on a grill. They're hot. Why would I put them on their head? This is a contextual thing, right? You know that, right? It's a contextual thing that heaping coals was actually about this idea of bringing warmth to a neighbor's tent on a cold desert night. You ever slept in the desert? It gets cold. And it's about bringing warmth to their tent. So this is actually a very neighborly, a very good thing, hospitable thing to do, heaping coals. It's doing good, right? In our pursuit of peace, we seek to orient ourselves towards doing good to the other person. And then I think there's another thing that Paul says in here. And I'll be honest with you, this probably requires the least amount of physical work, but it's probably the hardest thing to do, is that we trust God. We trust God's work and we trust God's timing. Middle of verse 19, very interesting phrase, says, leave room for God's wrath. You know, we could spend a lot of time this morning dissecting what it means, God's wrath, God's vengeance. We're not going to go there this morning, but I believe this is what it means in context for us today. If we back up, as it is possible, as far as it depends on us, we pursue peace with each other, with everyone, and we go after it with great tenacity. And that might mean that we have to take the high road. That might mean that we have to turn the other cheek. That might mean that we have to sensitively confront one another. It might mean that we have to just keep on doing good and orienting ourselves to doing good. It might mean that we hold back on retaliating. We pursue reconciliation. It might mean a whole lot of things. And at the end of the day, what it might mean is we just have to trust God and trust His timing. That we do what we can do as far as it depends on us, and we let God take care of the rest. And I know that might be the hardest thing of all. But friends, if we believe in a God who is sovereign, that means that God is in control of all things. We believe that God is in control in such a way that not even a little hair is going to fall from my head today without His will. We believe in that kind of a God. Then we can trust that God will take care of this too. We reconcile. We seek reconciliation, not retaliation. We orient ourselves to doing good, and we trust God. Let me shift gears a little bit on us. Here's something a little different, Westview. You know, in our pursuit of peace with others, here's the crazy thing. Sometimes when we pursue peace with others, you know what we find? We find peace ourselves. And that, my friends, might be the greatest gift we receive when we pursue peace with each other, that we find, we maybe reclaim a peace for ourselves. And let's be honest about that. That perhaps is where this all has to begin, isn't it? In order for us to recover Christian community by living in peace with each other, don't we first ourselves have to have peace? The peace of Christ within us? Peace with each other, which we're striving for today. We're talking about this today. Peace with each other is only possible if we ourselves have peace. We have peace with God. Peace provided through the gift into the hope of Jesus Christ. In order for us to have peace with one another, we have to have the peace of Christ within us. And so I'm just going to flat out ask us this morning, I'm just going to name this. Friends, do you know the peace of Christ in your heart? Is your soul settled? Is your spirit satisfied with the hope of good news of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ risen, Jesus Christ establishing eternal life. Do you know? Do you have the peace of Christ within you? The peace that Jesus has paid for all of our sins. The peace that Jesus Christ, in him, death is defeated. Eternity is assured. Relationship with God has been permanently established. And we, today, right now, even in the messiness of life, we have this living hope, an inheritance that will never perish or spoil or fade away, a hope, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for each one of us. Friends, do you know? Do you have? Are you at rest this morning in the peace that Jesus brings to us? And if we're uncertain about that, that's okay. That's okay. If we're uncertain whether we have that peace of Christ within us, then I want you to hear these words very carefully. You are loved by God. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter where you've been. It does not matter what the last few chapters of your life have been written in your book. You are loved by God. And you are loved so much by God that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived a perfect life that you and I cannot live. But his son, Jesus Christ, has come into this world. He lived that perfect life, and yet he still died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. Those sins are no longer ours to carry. The guilt is not ours to bear. That burden has been lifted. And Jesus not only paid the price of our sins through his death, but in his glorious resurrection, he definitively established the gift of eternal life, that life will always defeat death. And so you and I, we no longer have to fear death, because death is not the last chapter in our story. In Jesus, through faith in Jesus Christ, believing and who he is and what he has done, we have the gift of everlasting and eternal life. And my friends, that is peace. And I pray that you have this peace within you today. For if that is our peace, it stirs us to pursue peace with each other. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, even those who are different, even those with whom who might have wronged us, even with those with whom we might disagree, we pursue peace with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And if we have, friends, if we have that peace within us today, I'm going to ask you just to ask yourself, ask God a question. God, who are you placing in my heart right now that you are inviting me to recover Christian community with, that you are inviting me to pursue peace with that person or persons? In your heart right now, can you just ask, Holy Spirit, would you prick my heart if there is someone or someone's with whom I need, that God, you are inviting me, that you are calling me, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon me, I need to seek peace with that person today. And I'm going to invite you to ask that question, and do not delay in answering a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Start that work today. Start that work right after the worship service. You can start that work in your heart right now. Paul says, live in peace with each other. We do so as we seek to recover Christian community. Amen. Pray with me, please. God of peace, you created this world and all of it was very good. And yet we know that sin disrupted this world. And yet you would not let this world come undone. So you sent your son, Jesus Christ, in whose name all things are restored, in whose name all things are renewed, in whose name all things are reconciled. God, you are the God from whom chaos comes into order. You are the God who from brokenness you bring mending. You are the God who from disruption you bring peace. And so we thank you that in Christ there is peace with you. And through Christ we can have peace with each other. And we ask you this morning, God, that in our relationships with each other, you would strengthen us to do the good, honest, hard work that is required of each of us to pursue peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God, we ask that you would mend relationships. God, we ask that you would bind us together in your love. God, that you would unite us together as one in spirit. And God, that you would hear our prayer this morning as well for our world, in which there seems to be so little resemblance of the shalom that we long for. There's hatred, there's enmity, there's violence and wars and terror. There's animosity amidst our differences. There's a tearing down rather than a building up. God, our world needs the sweeping measure of your peace, and we ask for that. We beg for that this morning, that your peace would reign. May the name of the peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, would he bring wholeness and restoration to all places in the world and in our lives. God, whether we need healing for the nations or just healing in our bodies, whether we need comfort for those who mourn or comfort for those who've experienced great anxiety today, God, in all things we pray for your shalom. All the right amounts of all the right things, we ask for that to reign. And God, may it reign in our hearts. We pray that each of us would know the peace of Jesus Christ in our lives, the peace that he brings. Of sins paid for, death defeated, eternal life secure. God, for this and so, so much more, we give you our thanks and our praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.